All right, so that was Jack Johnson with the three R's, and he knows what he's talking about. He's got the reduce, reuse, recycle priority straight. So we're going to continue on with a little bit of current events before we go on, just a couple of more minutes, and we're going to talk about the recycle mania going on all around the nation in different college campuses, and both Oregon State University and U of O are competing, and they're kind of doing a little head-to-head, and it was actually Jessica who alerted me to this breaking news that this was all going on right now. So I did a little looking into it, and then I realized actually I had been at the OSU campus visiting my daughter. I have two daughters going there. One of them is in a dorm, and the dorms at the time were all competing with each other on recycling amounts. And well, I was kind of lamenting that my daughter's dorm was actually second from the last at the time. That's kind of a big confession for a waste reduction coordinator. But you know, she said, but Mom, I just don't have anything to throw away or recycle. And I realized that the whole purpose of the competition may be just off a little bit. So maybe they need to start weighing all the garbage that's coming out of these halls and see who's actually creating the most garbage to throw away rather than how many pounds per person are being recycled on average. But currently, if you're interested, the Beavs are a little behind the Ducks. We've got 6.64 pounds per person on average coming out of Oregon State, recycling coming out of Oregon State, and 7.08 pounds per person coming out of U of O. So the Ducks have a little bit of a lead on that one. And apparently Oregon State won the first 3 years. So this may be the Ducks' year, but apparently the Beavs really closed the gap this last week. So so while I root for them to really be focusing on recovering what they can, I would really like all these campuses to focus more on not needing to recycle, like my daughter mentioned for her. So, you know, maybe in a way her hall is ahead in some way, if they truly aren't throwing away that many things. But we really don't know that little piece of data. So with that bit of current event, we are ready to move on to Jessica and Carly. So I guess for you two, before you guys really came on the scene and made me think a lot more about how fun it is to creatively reuse things, I would think of DIY as doing my home repair projects, like, oops, my dishwasher broke. I'm going to fix it myself. I'm a DIYer.
That's great.
Okay. Yeah. And I mean, that still applies, I know. But you guys have, you know, opened my mind to what that really means and the creativity that involves. So, do you think that there's kind of a revolution happening? Is that a good word for the general awareness? Or is it just my own personal revolution?
No, I definitely think there is a revolution going on. I think there's a lot of change happening in that we are looking at waste and recycling different, because it's even a case of we don't look at recycling as, oh, it's newspaper, we're going to put it in the recycle. We look at it as newspaper, what else can I do with it? Mm-hmm. And you use it to, you know, line the bottom of a bag or, you know, make an outfit out of, like I do.
Well, and I also think it's a little bit of counterculture that's happening and taking place. It's kind of the anti-big corporation that's telling us that we need these certain things to solve our problems. And so we're taking that on and saying, you know, we can really do this ourselves. Our forefathers and our pioneer ancestors have been able to do it. I think we can do it as well.
Great. So how did you both get involved in this? Was there an aha moment, or was it kind of slowly an organic process? And I'll maybe, Carly, can you start first? And
you know, I've come from a family that recycles. We've always been, I mean, it was always a conscious thing around us. So recycling kind of came naturally. And then I've been a seamstress. I made my kids' clothes, and it was always a matter of, well, they grew out of them so quick. What can I do with it now? Because it's still great fabric. So it would have to be transformed into something else. And then I was very fortunate because I met Jessica through a craft night, and we were both kindred spirits in crafting and recycling. So it just all kind of fell into place.
Cool. Yeah. How about you, Jessica?
I think it's pretty organic how we met and we came together. I didn't come from a family that necessarily recycled a lot. What we did was, I mean, I guess sort of we did. If it was, you know, leftovers in the fridge, we'd cook them up, and that's what we did. It was more out of needing to do things like that. I remember a fantastic biology teacher that I had. It was like third grade that we're eating at McDonald's. And she said, you know, look at this, all of this waste. And so we wrote letters to our local McDonald's. Oh, wow. And it was when they were serving things in styrofoam. And so that eventually changed. So it was really great from a kid's perspective to see that change in action.
Right.
And so when I met Carly, and I don't know, it was just fabulous to know somebody else who is also eco-thoughtful and craft-related and arts-related. So we just meshed and we said, why not? Let's do it.
And so we did.
Yes, we did.
Well, my next part of that question was going to be about how you came about opening a creative reuse center in Salem. But there is a little bit of news about that. I thought this might be the time you guys want to put out the latest on the status of the creative use.
Sure. What we did was we had a campaign and we asked the people of Salem to come support us to keep our doors open for a year. And that looked like a year of rent as well as 6 months of hiring somebody part-time. And that amount was $10,000. And we raised about 20% of our goal. Mm-hmm. After looking at the economics of that, we kind of had to have a grown-up decision. And the board decided that we were going to close coming up, not this Saturday, but next Saturday, March 22nd, we'd be closing our doors. Only for the brick and mortar facility, though.
Yes.
We realized that we need to do a lot more educating and a lot more sharing about what creative reuse is in Salem and the surrounding areas. And we're going to still do events like the Trash and Show that coming up this fall.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm going to be poking in on that one a little bit later down the list here.
Great. And then as well as an online magazine that we can kind of cast a wider net to reach a larger audience in the Northwest and promote creatives that are making out of reuse materials.
Mm-hmm. Maybe create a bit more demand.
Absolutely.
For the center. Was there kind of a model of how the brick and mortar, were there places it was modeled after? Tell us how it's working.
Yeah, we actually had two organizations that we modeled after, Scrap in Portland and then Mecca in Eugene. We analyzed what they were doing and how they were doing it. And, we liked different aspects of it, so we tried to take those different things and put them all into one. And so we took, of course, having the raw goods, having a gallery that people can be inspired by, and then we can also promote local artists, and then doing the education part with classes and workshops and that.
Yeah, and those are very well-established organizations.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And, I'm definitely imagining that Salem's future will still have a reuse center at some point.
I think so. I think one of the other things is that we were given an opportunity to open a brick and mortar sooner than we anticipated, but it was such an opportunity that we couldn't say no.
Right.
You know, we had to give it a try, and we did a lot of educating. And so I think the big thing is that we did reach out to a lot of different audiences that they weren't familiar with creative reuse, and some didn't even recycle at all. So the idea that, you know, they now have been opened up to not just creative reuse, but also recycling in general. So there are people starting to look at things differently.
Yeah. So how do you think creative reuse really impacts the waste stream? I think you guys have some kind of measurable numbers of what came out of the creative reuse.
We were about 140 pounds a day of what we reused. And it's an interesting number because that's quite a bit, but we also were open 7 days a week because we are all volunteer run. So we were doing a lot of good and a lot of impact. And like Carly said, it was a lot of educating the masses about what people can do. One of the best compliments we got was that we were the real life Pinterest, which is awesome. We're like, we love Pinterest. And people are like, oh, we're hoping we're not offending you. We're like, no, we own it. We love it. So it was a lot about just showing people what you can do rather than tossing it in the garbage or recycling it, trying to get a second life.
Cool. So how about giving me a difference between the terms recycled and upcycled, which is often used to describe what kind of creative reuse projects are coming out, that they're upcycled rather than recycled. What's the difference?
So pretty much recycling can be put in a couple different categories. There's upcycling and downcycling. So downcycling is, you know, if you have a glass and instead of making it into another glass, maybe it gets crushed and then put into roadbed somewhere. That would be downcycling. The amount of energy that it takes to make it into something else, it's kind of an inferior product. upcycling is something completely different, where we're actually adding value, and that original material is still superior and can be used many times, as well as the energy that goes in. You're not shipping it from one side of the world to the other. It's not more taxing on the environment.
So let's move on to the trash and show stuff. So I want to congratulate you both for the fabulous expo at the Mid-Valley Green Awards. It was such a wonderful addition to the Green Awards to have your trash and show. And if you, any of you out there are listening and missed it, you should hit their website and have a look at all of the different designs that people came up with to make fashion out of trash and then put on a runway show. It was just an incredible sight. So give us a little overview of what went into it, how you guys feel about the results, and then maybe what might be coming up in the future, trashin-wise.
Well, of course, we are beyond excited about everything. the trashin, the show was amazing. I mean, it was, we had all these ideas of how it was going to turn out, and it turned out better than we could have planned it. It was really great because for us putting it together, it gave us a chance to reach out to the community, get people involved that are local that maybe have an interest in, some had an interest in trash or, you know, recycling or that, some had an interest in fashion. You know, everyone kind of came from a different background, and they brought their inspirations and we brought ours, and we threw together a trash and show.
So we reached out to local high school students and the teachers, and some of the teachers were really responsive and actually gave credit to the students in class, which was wonderful.
That is.
So we had one student in particular that made an amazing garment, and she learned how to weld just to make this garment. She made it out of clothes hangers. So it was a very structural piece. It was more like I would think more sculptural. And I'd seen the pictures of the progress, and I'm thinking, how is that girl going to get in? You know, this does have to be wearable. And she totally understood, and she said, absolutely. And she fit in, and it was amazing. And so she also covered the outside structure with different wallpaper samples, which isn't really it's not really recyclable. So it was really interesting to see all the different dresses. Carly, you could speak to that, like many different types of...
Well, everyone had different ideas and different materials that they used. And it was actually great to see just the idea of, I mean, well, for instance, mine was out of newspaper, and newspaper really does not have, it's not structurally sound for clothing. You know, well, unless you use lots of layers. But and then seeing other ones done, like, out of film. And, of course, that's something that, I mean, it does have a strength to it, so you can, you know, weave it together in that and actually form a fabric. And, you know, seeing the development of these different things and the ideas, and then even so much as aluminum cans cut out, because they are sparkly and pretty and colorful, really add dimension. And, you know, being they did give that bling bit to a dress that was otherwise dull.
And I think we should add that the clothes hanger sculptural dress was the first place winner.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then one of the aluminum cam cut out sparkly was like little butterflies. She was the People's Choice designer.
She had like Facebook. 630 votes on Facebook, which was fabulous.
But of course there were, all the designs were just incredibly, and I must imagine when you decide you're going to do one of these, you really just don't know what you're going to get.
I mean, take a chance.
Unveiling of all of these to even you as the organizer.
Yeah, we were stressing out a little bit about that, but it was a fantastic result. So we're definitely excited for the one that we're planning in the fall. We actually got a grant to do that through the transit occupancy tax of, in Salem. So we're definitely excited. We're looking for participants. It will be in October sometime around Halloween, as well as business partners. What we'd really like to do is team up with businesses that could sponsor the garment as well as the designer, so we can really promote their waste reduction and you know, highlight the things that they've been doing to keep things diverted. So we're really excited about
That's really cool. So is there a location planned yet or anything like that? Or is it too early?
We're scouting for that. if anybody knows any fantastic warehouses, that's kind of the what we're going for, is a very industrial, as well it fits into the theme of reuse and trying to rejuvenate things. So that's what we're looking for.
Cool.
Yeah.
So are there any other stories? We've got a delved into the trash and show, but what about doing your other classes and workshops? Anything has anything jumped out or surprised you in what you're doing with the community, people or projects or?
Other than having kids come into the mm-hmm. environment and their eyes are just twinkling and they're so excited about it and they don't want to leave. I think uh-huh. that's what's so wonderful is this crazy place that you can get, you know, random teeny tiny small bits mm-hmm. to larger things that is really affordable to people. I think that's the part that we're going to miss the most, and we're hoping eventually to bring something like that back. But
so they kind of come in and start looking and the synapses start firing about what they could do with
absolutely.
What.
Absolutely. The possibilities were endless.
Yeah, and the ideas, I mean, it is. It's one of those, like, they come in, like, just to look, you know, 5 minutes, and, you know, 35 minutes later, they have all these ideas of things they want to make, or, you know, they are sharing their ideas with
absolutely.
Us and things that they've seen done that they're like, wait, now I've got the supplies to do it myself.
Yeah.
So.
And we're also going to continue with creative reuse challenges where we take something very typical, like this month is a plastic water bottle, mm-hmm. to see what you can make from that. So thinking of just different alternatives of yeah. recreating things.
So are there winners chosen in that, or is the challenge in itself the...
there's a winner, and then typically what we do is give them a bag full of reuse things that they're able to pick out. So we're going to have to restructure that a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it's really fun to see, just even if you're not a participant, to go and see the creative energy and the minds behind it. The innovation's really interesting.
Cool. So there's kind of a new term circulating around life hack. I probably only came across that one maybe a month ago and then started realizing, oh, this is kind of everywhere. Can you guys explain that term and how it relates to creative reuse, and or if it's the same thing or if it...
I think it's very similar. I think in some ways life hack is the, like, kind of just do it, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
whereas, I mean, that's similar to creative reuse because it's like, you know, we'll take something and be like, oh, uh-huh. we need to patch something up and, you know, use what you have.
Right.
I think in some ways creative reuse may have a more artistic side, mm-hmm. whereas life hack is more of the do it yourself, get her done.
Yeah.
And however it works out, works out.
One of my favorite ones that just was like, oh my gosh, why didn't I think of that? And that's what happens when you start going through these blog pages that have pictures of things. Like, I didn't think of that before. But the one I put to work right away in my kitchen was taking a clothes hanger that has the clips for your skirt mm-hmm. or pants and hanging my cookbook from one of the handles on my kitchen cupboard so that I could just
smart.
See the cookbook.
Totally
so now
smart.
I have a clothes hanger in my kitchen drawer in the kitchen
awesome.
All the time. But it's those types of things where you don't necessarily even need to transform
yeah.
what you've got. It might just serve another purpose.
And
that
it's
you
no
never
longer
thought
a
of.
Single use item, which is fabulous.
Yes, yes,
yes.
Exactly.
It's the great alternatives that, you know. And I mean, it's also that fun side of there's something that you're like, oh, it's slightly broken, or, you know, like, I only have one of these, what do I do with it? Mm-hmm. Or trying to find that solution. Like, I mean, creative reuse, life hacks, whatnot, help give you those solutions.
Cool. Well, I think we're going to have to wrap up our show today, but is there anything else you'd like to throw out there for listeners?
Everyone
before?
Should participate in our trash and show.
Absolutely. Yeah. And follow us online. We're on Facebook. We have our website. We're going to launch our online magazine soon. So don't forget about us.
Okay.
Yeah.
So next show will be Thursday, March 27th. And my guest for Waste Matters on the Air will be David Alloway. He's a senior policy analyst with the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality. And he'll be talking about DEQ's 2050 vision for materials management. So it's a whole new way of thinking about our stuff and how it's made and how we can manage it, rather than always thinking about just what to do with it when we're done with it. So it'll be he's a great speaker. He is very accessible in his information, but he'll kind of blow your mind if you have a chance to listen to that. And again, remember, you can contact us at environmentalservices@co.marion.or.us if you have any questions, and you can follow us on Facebook. Actually, like us on Facebook would even be better. And you can follow us on YouTube. Thank you all. Bye-bye.